This is Johnny Wisdom. You're listening to Card Subject to Change.
Welcome back to Card Subject to Change. On this week's episode, our unbiased trio, not the EVPs, are looking back at the Elimination Chamber from Montreal. The crowd was super hot, and so are the guys. Get your mind out of the gutter, ladies. Not that way. As always, you can catch the show on the Four Frequencies Sake Podcast Network. And now, here's our own, formerly masked marvel, the Honorable Nick Bull.
What an intro. Welcome to Card Subject to Change, along with the Wizard CZ and Stripes Chris Angle. I am the Honorable One Nick Bull. Thank you for joining us. However you are joining us, we're happy to have you along with us. And if you enjoyed Elimination Chamber last night, this is the place to be. We're going to break it down here, but we're going to exercise our right as an adult. And when you're an adult, you kind of make the decision of what you want to do when you want to do it. And we're going to start with a dessert here. We're totally skipping the main course of the Elimination Chamber. We're going right to dessert, and we're going to bring in Stripes here for a full rundown of the SCW show that took place last night out at Wildwood in Iowa City. Stripes, how you doing, bud?
Good evening, Nick Bull. I'm doing wonderful, and I do like to enjoy my dessert before dinner. So we can always eat like the French. I mean, that's perfect. So I'm ready to go. I mean, last night was Hawkamania 29 up at the Wildwood Smokehouse and Saloon up in Iowa City. Very huge crowd. I mean, it's always different when we go up to Iowa City because that crowd is ready to go. They're always ready. But it's a different setup. If you haven't been out to Wildwood, it's kind of like a dance floor in the middle, and you got, you know, it's like a bar atmosphere. You know, you got the tables around the ring, and then you got a second deck. So you got tables around the second deck, and people are just clamoring to see some wrestling, some good old wrestling, I should say. Your opening contest, we had the Iowa Championship Eliminator Series. Basically what it is the winner goes on to face the Iowa champion, in a series of matches. We had Crotch going against Cornboy, which I got to see that match, and that was one heck of a match. Crotch actually picked up the win on that. And then we had MFG with his tag team partner, Nico Klein, defeating, you heard me right, defeating Mason Beck. But after reviewing the footage, I did see that MFG had a little help from Nico Klein. And I apologize to the Iowa City fans. I was the official in charge. I did not see that. So it's, you know, out of my control at that point. But Mason Beck did say he wanted both MFG and Nico Klein in a 2-on-1 match after the match. So we're gonna see that later on down the road. When, I'm not sure, but we will definitely see it. And your next match was Chuck Brewster taking on John Bonnert. John Bonnert, of course, was accompanied to the ring by Amina Belmont, and Chuck Brewster was accompanied to the ring by Maggie Minerva. If Chuck wins, Maggie Minerva gets a match against Amina Belmont at Epic. And of course, picking up the win is Chuck Brewster. So that means, Maggie Minerva will get a match against Amina Belmont at Epic. And then we had Garut, the big, big, big gentleman with Eric Esna. I don't know if you want to call him a gentleman. He's a big monster.
He's a specimen.
There you go. A specimen. He defeated a newcomer, Casey Jacks. Now I don't know. I didn't get quite a chance to see this match, so I'm not 110% sure what Casey Jacks was all about. But from what I saw of him, he had Chris Benoit-esque tights. So if that's any indication on how much he's a good wrestler, he might be. But I didn't get a chance to see that. And then after that, Eric Esnai stayed in the ring with Garut, and he defeated Jossi. And that match, let me tell you, that match, I actually got to referee that match. And Jossi, man, if you haven't seen Jossi in the ring at all, he's something to be seen. Now, he was in the ring before, and if you've ever seen Jossi before, he likes to do a little bit of a story time. So Jossie had story time, and he was talking about how Garrote looks like a big dildo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know. You got to put the parental advisory sticker on it. I know.
Hold on a second.
Family show. Yes, sir.
GZ?
Yeah.
I never thought I'd ask this question on this show. Do you know what a dildo is?
Whoa.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure everybody in the room knew. So.
Okay. We don't want to have to have
looks like a rocket ship, right?
Sure. The red rocket.
Mercy.
Oh my.
But Jossie was basically saying how Eric and Garrote got out of bed in the morning and they thanked God, and it was a good story. I can't recall the whole story, but I'm pretty sure there's a video of it somewhere. It was good story time by Jossie.
I just want to interrupt you before you go to the
next one. Right ahead.
Jossie, on the list of people you should be watching for, he is amazing on the mic. He's amazing in the ring. If you like Stripe said, if you haven't seen him wrestle, make an effort to go wherever he is to watch him do what he does.
Yeah, I can confirm. Jossie was at the one Iowa City show I went to a couple months back out at Wildwood, and he and Dustin Moseley put on a really good match. But Jossie is somebody, he's must see. If you hear he's on the card and he's in your area, Jossie is must see wrestling.
And then at that time, when he went into intermission, had a brief intermission, not too long, but we came back. We had a 6-way tag match. We had Connor Braxton, Augustus Draven, Jay Marsden taking on Shane Boucher, Gunner, and Jared Thumb. And Connor Braxton, of course, with the Shadow Hunters, did get the win on that match. And then we had the Shug, Shane Hollister, defeating a returning Kevin Cade. He's been out for a little while. He's been traveling up and down the road. He's gotten a lot bigger. Kevin Cade, big old beard. He's a super good wrestler. If you haven't checked out Kevin Cade, awesome. Another one of the graduates there at the Black and the Brave Academy. Then came up your Pick Your Poisons match. So the last two matches of the evening were the Pick Your Poison match. We had Dustin Moseley taking on Dante Leon, which was a banger. Dante Leon, if you have not seen him, again, I'm going to say you need to go see him. But Dustin Moseley picked up the win in that match. And then for your main event, it was JT Energy taking on Johnny Wisdom. JT Energy doing a little bit of dancing, a little bit of shucking and jiving. Johnny Wisdom, he wasn't having any of it. Gave him the middle finger at the beginning of the match. He didn't want to do any dancing. Although I did hear a couple chants from the crowd that they wanted him to twerk. I don't think you're going to see Johnny Wisdom twerking, but he did do some like jello jiggle or something. I don't know what he did, but he like jiggled his legs, his thighs. I don't know. It was the Johnny Jiggle. Let's just call it. You know what? That's the Johnny Jiggle. That's what we're going to call it.
Put a pin in that, because when Johnny Wisdom comes back on the show, which you can catch in his initial interview in our archives, when Johnny comes back on the show, we're going to talk about that. And
we're going to ask him about the Johnny Jiggle.
We're going to harass him and get him to twerk at a show for us, because that'd be hilarious.
It was awesome. But yeah, like I said, JT Energy defeated Johnny Wisdom. And after the match, Dustin Moseley attacking JT Energy. We're going to see JT Energy and Dustin Moseley for the heavyweight title. Excuse me. The upcoming show is called Luck is for Losers, March 4th at the Bluegrass Community Club in Bluegrass, Iowa. And then we got Hulkamania 30. Now, are you ready for this? The name of this show? This is great. It may sound a little dirty, but it's worth the wait. Walking the Walk and Hawking the Hawk.
I like it. I think it's catchy.
It is. That's fantastic.
It's catchy, man. I like it.
I love it.
But you got to hawk the hawk on your own time. So Anyway,
I'm not touching that one. I'm not touching
that's
that
gonna
one.
Be that's gonna be March 18th at the Wildwood Smokehouse and Saloon up in Iowa City, and then of course April 8th is gonna be epic in Bluegrass at the Community Club. That's gonna be a great evening of pro wrestling. Speaking of epic, CZ, didn't we have something planned for an epic review?
We do. We can. I say we can announce that right now, Nick. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Yeah, go for it.
So after Epic, we are going to welcome back the head trainer of the Black and Brave Academy, runner of SCW Pro, Mr. Merrick Brave. He's going to talk all about Epic. Going to review the show. He's going to talk about the importance in the SCW history. I'm excited. I think that's going to be a great show.
I'm excited. I'm excited just to have Merrick Brave on. I know you guys have had him on before.
Merrick was a lot of fun to talk to. He had a lot of good stories. I loved getting the chance to sit down and talk with him.
It's also, you know, sit down and talk with him after the biggest show of the year. Maybe get the inside scoop, the first word on, you know, what's going on next with who and what in the landscape of SCW Pro. But sounded like it was a great show last night. I will be at the next one, Stripes, come hell or high water.
Sounds good.
Definitely be at the next one. But, gentlemen, hey, it's our world, and we're living in it. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to blow out this first segment here, and we are going to talk about the main event last night of WWE's Elimination Chamber in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
That's right, folks. We are not starting at the beginning. We are playing the adult card.
We're going to just, boom, play it right now. We're going to bring out the Bauer and make sure everybody else is, you know, brings out their bad card. But here we go.
Are we bringing out the Court Bauer?
No. Happy Corbin for you.
No, God, come on. I'll take it back.
You know, I just want to mention, Stripes, you had to be ecstatic a week or two ago when JBL put your boy in his place.
Yes, thus he should be. You know what? We'll talk about that later, but I've got a couple ideas of where to go from this iteration of Corbin. And one does not involve the trash can.
New segment we have. It's a new segment we have here on the court on the show. Stripes and Corbin. What can Corbin do? It's like where Stripes introduces a new gimmick for him each week. I like
it.
Yeah,
I love it.
You know what? Let's do it. I will come up with one, and next week we'll throw it out there, and we'll have the card subject to change audience vote on it and see what. If they like it or not, and if they don't, we can scrap it and we can go with another one.
We can call can call it the card subject to change, card subject to Corbin, gimmick challenge.
There you go. Card subject to Corbin gimmick challenge. I like that. Very long, but yeah, I love it.
Oh, very long and very over the top, much like most of professional wrestling. So why not us?
Let's hit some dessert, folks. Let's get to some dessert.
We're talking about over the top. I want to start off by talking about this crowd in Montreal. Holy crap. Those guys were on fire.
They were rabid.
MVPs of the show. They really put the icing on the cake of this main event. You know, backyard of Sammy's hometown, Roman the Conquering Hero coming into big time enemy territory. Never faced odds like this, I don't think. Not a crowd like this before.
He did get booed. But not only the main event, they were hot the whole night. I didn't see a point where they were kind of lulled or bored, or they were hot for everything.
Gentlemen, let me ask you this. Did you guys watch SmackDown this week, perchance?
Yes, sir.
So, two things I want to talk about. First of all, the Sami Zayn promo was 6 minutes of crowd chanting and 2 minutes of Sami cutting down on Roman, which was amazing. But I want to kind of sidebar, and I have a reason for this. The crowd was raining down heat on Ronda Rousey during her match on SmackDown. Let me ask you this, gentlemen. Who did the crowd hate more? Ronda Rousey, Dominic Mysterio, or Roman Reigns? Because all three of them this weekend were just getting booed out of the building.
I'm going to go with Roman Reigns because he was fighting the hometown boy.
I don't think nothing can beat that heat.
But man, Dom was getting some really good heat last night.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. The Ronda Rousey stuff, I don't know, man. I don't think Canada likes her.
There were F-bombs coming from the crowd. There was a "you can't wrestle" chant for Ronda.
I think the entire WWE universe is just tired of Ronda Rousey.
I can agree with that.
I always make a joke in every single one of her matches. I count how many times she fixes her tights every match. If you go back and watch any one of her matches, even before the bell, she is tugging at those tights, pulling them down. She gets suplexed. She gets up, tugs on the tights. She gets punched. She tugs on the tights. It is ridiculous.
Are either of you gentlemen fans of Star Trek: The Next Generation?
Who?
I'm not a Trekkie. Nope.
No.
The reason I bring this up is there is a running gag where Captain Picard, every time he stands up out of the captain's chair, he's tugging down his shirt, tugging down his uniform. God. That's what he made me think of, Stripes.
Maybe she's a Trekkie. I don't know, but she's terrible at it. Like, if it was a drinking game, I would have liver poisoning by now. It would be bad.
Well, maybe an idea for upcoming events.
Oh, man.
So this match was, I don't know if I can pick a favorite match between this and the men's elimination chamber. We're going to talk about that later, but so many high points in this match. You've got Roman getting in Sammy's wife's face multiple times, talking shit to her.
If this match did not solidify Sami Zayn as a legitimate top contender for any single title in the company, let alone the heavyweight title, then I don't know what's wrong with Triple H. I don't know what's wrong with any one of the writers. Because he took that crowd on one hell of a roller coaster ride.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Not only him, but Roman. Roman definitely helped it. But not only because they were in Montreal, this has been leading up for the past, nine months to a year? And we haven't seen this level of crowd support for a single person since Daniel Bryan.
And here's the thing. We don't talk about this much. We have the words have never come out that I can remember on the podcast. This match was all about ring psychology.
It was.
And they told the best story that we have seen in a long time. You believed every time Sammy went for a pin, you believed that was it. You believed he was winning the title right then and there.
Do you know what the first move right after the collar and elbow tie up? What do you either one of you remember what that move was?
I'm blanking. Nick,
it was Nick side headlock, was it not?
It was a headlock, and you heard that crowd. They went nuts for a headlock.
Yeah.
They absolutely came out of their seats and came unglued. And then Sammy got the headlock back on Roman, and they came unglued again the opposite way.
It was the stars aligning with Sammy being from Montreal. Montreal's been a good crowd. Everybody had the suspicion, hey, would this be a Montreal screw job number two? All that aside, my first thing I wrote in my notes, I put the pacing of the championship match was phenomenal. These guys didn't rush anything. They let the crowd be the third member of this match, and they all played off each other. I thought everything was good about this match. I love it. I know some people thought the ending was kind of convoluted. I didn't. I have no problem with it. This thing continues. The saga continues, but you're right. The crowd almost willed the three count last night. They were willing the ref's hand to hit the mat. And when you see Sammy getting desperate and he's thrown everything at Roman and still can't pin him, I mean, I love it. And then Roman's like, that's all you got. I mean, it just, I like the dynamic that Roman's character has taken on in this bloodline, this championship run, where he is talking crap to his opponents during the match.
Yeah, something that I have noted here.
Another layer, in my opinion. I mean, before, you never knew Roman Reigns to be like this. I mean, you knew him as a heel with Heyman, but man, he's talking smack to Zayn's wife as he kicks Sammy, you know, butt right in front of her. I mean, that's lowbrow heel stuff, and he is doing it and looking great doing it. Like, he's doing lowbrow heel stuff, and it doesn't make him look any worse. It makes him look better. I mean, we are witnessing a run, something that we may look back on 5-10 years like, oh my gosh, look how long that thing went and how good it was.
I wrote something down to go along with what you're saying, Nick, with him talking smack to Sammy's wife, talking smack to Sammy in the middle of the ring. There's a point in the match before the very end where Sammy is laying on Roman's knee and Roman is just looking down at him yelling, I was helping you. I elevated you. You were nothing without me. That was just so powerful and so well done.
I wanted nothing from you. You threw it all away. You ruined it. He's looking at his wife. You know, I'm talking about Roman looking at his wife. He ruined this. We had something here. You know, like, Roman is hurt.
And he even said, I wanted us to be together. I wanted us as a family. It's kind of looking at it like Roman wanted to help the Zayn family. You know, we could have been great together. We could have made, I even think at one point he was like, we could have made a bunch of money. You know what I mean? Like
the line that got me the most, he looks at Sammy's wife and he says, I was putting food on your table.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's what it was.
I want to raise something here about this match. If you're listening by now, I'm guessing you probably watched the pay-per-view, but Roman Reigns is able to retain, but not without some controversy. I guess I don't want to skip that controversy, but I don't want to lose this topic. Is this going to turn into a Daniel Bryan groundswell to power him into the main event of WrestleMania? I'm talking about Sammy, since Roman did win. And fellas, if so, this is the thing I really wanted to throw out there. Maybe is Cody Rhodes the one getting screwed in all this?
Oh.
I don't think so, and here's why I think. Because the crowd wants to see not only Sami Zayn, they also want to see Cody Rhodes win the heavyweight title from Roman. And I also think that they want to see Sami Zayn take on Cody Rhodes, because right there you have two underdogs going at it, and we had that promo in the ring on Raw where Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes were just eating it up, and the crowd was, they were eating it up too.
Okay,
so So I think not only do they want to see Cody and Roman, they also want to see Sammy, Roman, and they also want to see Cody, Sammy.
The whole Cody narrative right now is finish your story. And he said that to Sami Zayn too. Is Sami Zayn's story finished now that he lost? I don't think so.
No.
No.
And the reason why I say no is because he can come back and say, look how close I was to taking your championship. Look how far I pushed you. You were in God mode. And like I told my son last night, Sami Zayn's in Jesus mode. He died for everyone's sins to win that world championship. He's got the Jesus beard. He's got the Jesus hair. He's in Jesus mode.
And he's a Muslim. Very, very good analogy there, Stripes.
And he's a Muslim.
But you're right. I get what you mean. You're absolutely right. I didn't mean to skip the big bloodline story here where Jimmy came out and jumped Sammy when the ref was down. Okay. And then another moment in the match when Roman has a clear shot at Sammy with a chair. We see Jimmy return.
Jay returned.
Jimmy was there earlier. Jay returned.
Yep.
The convoluted ending happens after Jay refuses to hit the prone Sammy with a chair. And as he is kind of making his decision to leave the ring, after he was thinking about hitting Roman, pie facing him, you think he's going to hit Roman. He drops the chair and is going to leave the ring and is caught in the crossfire of an attempted Sammy spear on the tribal chief.
So that's kind of where I got kind of confused. Just for the simple fact, I was expecting Jay to come back in the ring and attack Sammy for hitting him with that spear. But him not doing it made more sense because later on we had KO come out and help Sammy at the end. Do we possibly see Jay and Sammy maybe feud? I don't know. I mean, that could take on a storyline of its own.
It absolutely could.
There's so many strings that are coming out of this one event. It's going to be an interesting 6 weeks. We've got 6 weeks to WrestleMania.
And then,
I'm excited to see where things go.
And then before we move on here, did you see the way Sammy looked at Kevin and Kevin looked at Sammy? It was almost like the mutual respect, but also the look on Sammy's face was like, why did you help me? Almost like he was upset that Kevin helped him.
Sure.
Are we going to see maybe Kevin and Sammy at Mania?
Maybe.
It's a minute possibility, but that's also another possibility too.
I know rumors have been running rampant about it being Kevin and Sammy against the Usos at Mania. But what if Sammy works his way into the title match? We're gonna take a break here pretty soon, but that's my final thought on that is, does Sammy say what you guys were saying earlier? Does Sammy come back and say, well, I almost had you. You couldn't beat me without help.
I think somehow he's going to make it a triple threat.
Oh, I mean, don't say that.
But and as much as it's, I feel, yes, I know, Nick, probably you're thinking the same thing. It's lazy booking. But here's the thing. The crowd. You can't deny the crowd support for not only Cody and Sammy at the same time. When has been the last time that there has been this much crowd support for two major baby faces against just one mega heel?
I just don't like the concept of you winning a Royal Rumble. You shouldn't. I like where you came from. I mean, the crowd would be nuts. But I don't like the fact where you win a Royal Rumble and your title shot is now a triple threat.
We did that a couple years ago with Daniel Bryan and Edge, did we not?
I believe so. And here's the thing with that. You can also take it one step further. you don't have to make Roman Reigns look bad. I hate saying that, but you don't even have to have him pinned.
I think I would be happier if he defended, if they somehow got to split the titles and he fought Sammy on one night or Cody on one night and the other guy on the other night.
That makes sense to me.
Then you have the storyline. Then you have the storyline in. If he loses a match, let it be the second match to Cody. Okay. Hey, I was tired. I had to fight back-to-back nights. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't want to see a triple threat because, like you said, we've seen it just, what, 2 years ago now? Was it 2 years ago? Okay, I'm not denying Sammy. Sammy deserves to be there. He showed it last night. He has shown it in the months leading up. But, I hope it's not a triple threat. But if it is, I'll sit there and enjoy it anyways.
Yeah, I mean, we're shaping up to have a great WrestleMania, triple threat or not. I'll enjoy it either way. But let's, like I said, I'm excited to see how the next 6 weeks shape out.
As am I.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a brief time out, and we'll be right back.
Card Subject to Change is looking for dedicated sponsors. If you or your business would like to join the Card Subject to Change podcast, hit us up at our official podcast email, cstcpodcast2022@gmail.com.
Welcome back to the Card Subject to Change podcast. I am the Honorable One Nick Bull. The trio's partners are the Wizard CZ and Stripes Chris Angle. We're going to make this a shorter segment since we kind of blew out talking about the World Championship match, and it deserved every minute we gave it. But I want to ask you guys something, and especially you, Stripes, because it kind of deals with the end of that match. And after I get your answers, we'll proceed with the rest of the card. But should there be a standard policy in pro wrestling about when the original ref gets knocked out and if a second ref can come down and then whose decision is final? I want to ask your thought about that, because when I seen the second ref come down last night, I thought maybe the second ref would count Sammy for three. And the first ref would be there and say, no, it wasn't. So I kind of want to know, where do you stand on multiple refs taking bumps and getting knocked out in, like, these championship matches?
So if memory serves me correct, back in the Attitude Era, that's kind of how it went. It was basically your first referee would be your ultimate discretion in your final decision. But then we got to the brand split, and, you know, it was multiple referees. It was a SmackDown referee, Raw referee. But I think the way it happened last night, I would have to say I agree, just for the simple fact, the referee's discretion, yes, but the referee that was assigned to the match, if he's indisposed or under, well, I guess under duress, can be taken over on the next, basically the referee that is coming in to kind of save the day. That's kind of my take on that. But it's kind of like, yeah, I would say that it would be definitely the referee that comes in and kind of saves it, kind of the second referee to get that second, you know, that second bump, or I guess, what do you ever call it?
Let me ask this. Go ahead. Do you guys feel there are too many ref bumps in wrestling right now?
Yes.
I mean, it seems to happen on every single show that you watch. There's at least one ref bump.
But
if not multiple. Yeah.
But it added to this match. I mean, come on.
I'm not arguing that.
The clear time that Roman is out cold on his back and there's no ref to count, and it's a clear and obvious three. So.
And I agree with you there. I'm just, overall, I think the ref bump concept is overdone. This match, it worked out fantastically. It was timed right. It was well placed. But overall, I'd like to see it happen less.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. I can see where you're coming from there. And I just sometimes, to me, the refereeing, you know, situation like it happened in that championship match last night, it gets confusing. And then you're kind of like, okay, I don't know what to follow. But it's interesting. We're peeling layers off the onion here. And I just thought I'd ask, you know, since we've got a referee on retainer, CZ, I thought we'd ask him what he thought. So
I agree. I think that was a good call.
We're going to save the second. We're going to save, I think, the most agreed upon, you know, best match or second best match of the night for the last segment of the show. That's the men's elimination chamber. But I just want to mention a few things. The women, one, you know, give me one word here to describe it. The women's chamber was dot, dot, dot. Let's go around the room.
Lackluster.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Compared to the rest of the show, especially, it wasn't a bad match, but I thought it could have had a little more potential. I thought it had a little more potential than what they showed.
Me personally, I think, yep. I think it was unexpected. Now the reason why I say that is because I wasn't expecting much out of it, but I actually was, you know, surprisingly entertained for the opening contest. You see what I'm saying? You know, with the competitors that were in it, you got Carmella, you've got Raquel Rodriguez. Those are the two that I really didn't have doing much, but what they did, you know, was unexpected. They added more to the match than I thought they would.
You want to hear a story, Stripes?
Oh, geez.
Nick and I talked yesterday, and Mr. Honorable Nick Bull here said if this were a horse race, it would come down to Asuka, Raquel, and Carmella. And who were the last three people in the chamber?
Those were the last three. Yeah.
So, Nick, that was a very good call on your part.
Oh, thank you. I had surprising. I guess I can kind of piggyback off of what Stripe said. I had lower expectations for this match. But let me just read this sentence here, okay? No Bailey, no Becky, no Bianca, no Charlotte, no Rhea Ripley. And I thought it was better than average for the women's side of the chamber. Women's side of the chambers be a little different from the men, but for who was in the women's chamber and for a lot of them not being in a chamber match before, I thought it was really, really well done.
So I will change my answer now that you said that, because looking at the top talent that was not in this match, these competitors did an excellent job for being essentially mid-card performers for the most part, with the exception of Asuka and maybe Liv, who have both had world title or had title reigns. Carmella. I can't leave her out.
You know, I think we'll have a different discussion when it comes time to the men's chamber side of things, but I just listed those names off. I just want people to realize five of the top stars weren't even in that match on the women's side due to not being in the match storyline wise or being a champion. And I thought it was really well done. The Liv Morgan spot. That's when I rose out of my seat and I said, okay, I'm not burying Liv Morgan anymore. I will cheer for her now. That was the moment, I guess, I needed to see, but that was an outstanding moment. I thought, given the talent that was in there, the match surprised me and was better than I thought. It wasn't the worst match on the card, in my opinion.
And you're you're talking about the Liv Morgan spot where she passed out from the Asuka lock and the sharpshooter. Is that correct?
Was that, and then the wasn't there the Hurricane Rana?
Yes.
That's the spot I was talking about.
No, it was she did a sunset flip into a powerbomb off of the.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
And the one that we're not really talking about here is Natalya. Natalya is constantly being put in these matches, and she is the rock that holds everything together. Is the glue that holds everything together. I mean, Natalia's been there for I don't know how long. She's been there for ages, and she continues to not only elevate superstars, women superstars, and she also makes herself look good too, for the simple fact she doesn't really she's one of those talents that doesn't need a title to to showcase her abilities.
Yes.
Same way. She's kind of in that class with Bayley. Bayley doesn't need a belt.
Right. And if we didn't have, I don't think if we didn't have Asuka or Natalya in it, I do think, well, set alone, Natalya, Asuka, and do we have a third? Liv. I would say Liv's in that. If we didn't have those three, I definitely think that it would have been a different situation.
Oh, for sure. You had some good workers in there.
Let me share something that I read this morning coming out of this match. Asuka is the first and only woman to have won a Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank, and the Elimination Chamber.
I had screenshotted that. I was going to also bring that up too.
That's impressive. I saw that as well. Let's hope they can right the wrongs from a few years ago. And I like Bianca, but Asuka got done wrong a few years ago when she was an unstoppable machine out of NXT and then lost at her first Mania. She deserves a big Mania win, in my opinion. If she gets that, solidifies her, you know, at the WWE all-timer, in my opinion. But I'm rooting for Asuka here against Bianca at WrestleMania.
I am too. I think with her gimmick change, her face paint change, I think it's going to be another stepping stone for Asuka to elevate to the higher level that she should be on.
Yeah. Yeah. CZ?
Yeah, I agree. I hope that I would like to see Asuka come out with the win over Bianca and elevate back to, because coming out of NXT, she had so much momentum being undefeated for so long. And then here comes Charlotte. Nothing against Charlotte Flair, but at the time, she, I don't want to say what I want to say. I think Charlotte for a while had a golden shovel for those coming up.
Yes.
I don't know that she is the same person that she was during that time, because I don't want to disparage Charlotte. She is
CZ.
Yeah.
You were afraid to say golden shovel when we said dildo on this episode.
Oh man.
It's like a rocket ship.
Golden shovel. That's what he's going to say.
Shovel. Okay. You can say golden shovel.
So
start calling CZ C R Kelly Z.
Oh God.
Okay.
I went there. Okay. Off the rails. That was uncalled for.
So let's jump around a little bit here. We're not going in match order. Let's talk about the mixed tag match next.
Let's do it.
What did you guys think of the mixed tag match?
For me, it was perfect spot on the card. I had low expectations for this because I think me, just like along with any other wrestling fan that keeps up, you don't have to be a real educated, smart wrestling fan. You know that this isn't over. They'll probably have the blow off at WrestleMania. So this was just kind of a stop in the tour along the way of Edge getting redemption against Judgment Day. To me, the match was fine. I thought Dom stole the show with getting some extra heat for the Judgment Day on the outside. I had no problem with this match where it was, and with Edge and Beth ultimately winning, because you know I had a feeling, hey, you know, the Canadians winning here, but you know, we're not going to have the happy ending at the end of the night. So I think this was kind of them saying, hey, you know, you got the win here. But no, I think the blow off will happen at Mania. This is far from over. But yeah, all four participants shined in this. I thought everybody looked good. Really loved the powerbomb spot when the women both powerbombed their male counterparts.
Finn and Edge. Yeah. As Finn and Edge look at each other like, oh crap, here we go.
Correct. Like, I'm not usually a fan of like the GCW stuff where it's a guy against girl, but this situation where they're all four workers and it's a wrestling move, that was fine. I thought that was a cool part of the match that, you know, both women are powerful enough and strong enough to do that too. So it shined. It highlighted the women. I had no problem with that spot, but it was fine. It was about what I expected.
So with this match, I had no expectations because I didn't even remember this match was actually going to take place. Ha! So with this match, I as it showed up, I was like, oh, okay. So I really wasn't expecting anything, and I was pleasantly surprised. This match, I mean, all four workers are just excellent. And you would think that Dominic would take away from being on the outside of the ring, and he didn't. He actually added. He was perfectly placed in certain spots. They used him when they needed him, and he kind of went away and hid when they needed to. Obviously, the Montreal crowd didn't forget he was there. One of my highlights of the match was the crowd was singing their na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye. And then Dominic comes right back out and waves to the crowd and smiles, and the crowd's like, oh, they're groaning, and you know, they're F you Dominic again. And you know, it was a match, like I said, I had no expectations, and I was really, really pleasantly surprised. But it was a great match.
The only thing that I will add to that, I agree. The match, you know, I didn't have high expectations for it. The match was great overall. But we got to talk about that one spot. I think you both know what I'm talking about. The part where Finn has Edge pinned to the mat and Beth is a little late on her cue to save the day.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
After she got hit by the nuts.
I know what you're talking about. I would say Beth was late, but Edge was also really late. And maybe he couldn't see Beth wasn't coming and then kind of panicked there at the end. But I know exactly what you mean, CZ.
So the ref, in my opinion, paused before he could hit the – there was a blatant pause in the ref's arm to coming down for that third strike on the mat since it wasn't the end of the match.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that because I was into the match so much that I really didn't even notice that. I kind of noticed she was late only because Michael Cole mentioned that, blah, 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 making the save, Beth Phoenix making the save. But Edge made it look like right at the very last second, he didn't kick out super fast. It was like one of those kickouts where...
Correct.
I just got my shoulder up. You know what I mean? It was almost like a reflex kick out. So that also made it look like too that they both were going for the same thing at the same time. Beth, you know, coming in trying to make the save, and Edge, you know, making that reflex kick out.
I want to give a huge shout out to Rhea Ripley in this match, the glam slam. Outside the ring.
Yes.
The way that she sold that was one of the best sells in recent history, in my opinion.
Yes, and I would have to agree.
I agree, and I have written on here, her eye makeup really made her selling more better. Like, go back and watch that Glam Slam and then watch her face and how her makeup is on her face. Like, yeah. She just looks like, you know, she looks like she's been killed in a video game. Like, her face is just drawn. It was fantastic. She did a great job. Rhea is, you know, she is bound for huge things. I mean,
and she could go,
she could go on a Roman-esque run.
She could. Speaking of face paint, I don't know if you caught it on commentary, but Beth Phoenix also had herself some face paint. She was paying tribute to Bull Nakano. That's correct. And I pulled up a picture, and I'm like, oh, man, Bull Nakano and Beth Phoenix kind of have almost the same build. I mean, they both are pretty, you know, big in stature, not muscular.
No, I know what you mean. Why? They're like clones. They're clones of each other. They're the perfect clone of each other. Yep, but different backgrounds. Yep, absolutely.
It was excellent.
Beth does like a leg drop off the top rope, doesn't she not?
I think so.
Bull Nakano always did, so I didn't know if Beth did that too. But yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. They're like mirror images of each other. Sure.
They're both jacked. They're like muscular ladies.
For sure. Let's talk about one more match here real quick before we go to our last break. And that was the opening contest. Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley.
That was the second match.
Nah, you're right. That was the second match. My bad. Anyway.
Hey, what kind of match do we have here?
It is two big meaty men.
It is horse fight.
I was going to get both of you to say your lines. You both came in right for
I know. I mean, the kid's not having school tomorrow. I'm really exhausted this Sunday, knowing that tomorrow's just going to be there waiting for me too. So.
Yeah, tomorrow I got to go deliver some Amazon. So here we go.
But I wasn't disappointed with the length of this match. Again, there's something else involved. That something's Bray Wyatt, right? He's going to get one of these guys, be my guess. Maybe kind of a BS ending.
Yeah.
But you want to keep both guys strong. Neither guy wants to take a pin there. I get it.
Yeah.
If you're going Bray and Brock, that's fine. The rumors of Bobby getting the hurt business reformed, maybe with a couple other members, different members. Yeah. So I had no problems with this match and where it was on the card. It was fine with me.
And let's talk about the aftermath of that, because Bobby got a couple of F5s. Referee Chad Patton got a couple of F5s for his troubles too.
So I want to comment about that. The thing with that is that the referee should be admonished and looked at as like someone that shouldn't be attacked like that. I know Brock Lesnar has, you know, a history of having a hot head and everything like that. It almost makes me want to think that they're going to do another suspension angle with Brock. I hope not, just for the simple fact I would like to see Bray versus Brock instead of Brock versus good old Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
But that match overall, I think it was a cluster. It was a hoss fight, but it was just, it like you said, it was almost like neither one of them wanted to give an inch, neither one of them wanted to give a mile, and nobody wanted to get that pinfall.
So, Stripes, as our resident zebra, I did want to ask you, how many finishers have you taken in your referee career? Or talk about your most memorable one, I guess.
He's taken all of them.
Every single finisher in the book. You name it, I've done it. No, honestly, I really can't think of anything off the top of my head that being memorable or I know that's a boring cop out, but I just with that type of thing, I don't think that should be done, just for the simple fact you're laying your hands on an official, someone that is supposed to be there just to officiate the match. And I guess you shouldn't go to that well too many times, just for the simple, you know, for the fact, because you want to make it as big of a deal as possible
when it happens. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Stretch. You're taking the words right out of my mouth. You want it to mean something when the referee gets hit. Now everybody expects it, right? Like, everybody's expecting the ref bump. If we got away from that, where it wasn't seen so much, and you put the ref bump in every once in a while, it would mean so much more then.
So I look at it as the ref bump and the ref attack are two different things. The ref bump, okay, it's an accidental thing.
You're right. The ref attack, there's really maybe in a major storyline to suspend a guy, yes, that's when you pull the trigger. But that's the only time.
It's more of a next level kind of deal. You know what I mean? It's like,
Correct.
All right, that heel is getting ticked off to where they're uncontrollable and they attack the ref. Your next person comes out, or your upper management comes out, and you're like, hey, you attacked a referee, you're going to get a fine and or suspension, blah, 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 blah. Whereas a ref bump, two guys are just in there beating the hell out of each other. The ref accidentally gets pushed down. Nothing
it's
crazy.
It's incidental.
What's that?
It's incidental.
Exactly. Incidental. It's collateral damage.
Folks, that's why we have him on retainer. He is Stripe Chris Angle. He is the Wizard CZ. I'm the Honorable One Nick Bull. Please stay tuned. We're going to take one last break, and we're going to devote this last segment to that men's elimination chamber. Stay with us. You're listening to the Card Subject to Change podcast.
Part of the Four Frequency Sake podcast network. You're listening to Card Subject to Change with the fabulous Freebirds of podcasting. Chris Stripes Angle, the Honorable Nick Bull, and the Wizard CZ, bringing you the best podcast wrestling action in the Quad Cities. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out the FourFrequencySake.com for our archives and other great podcasting content.
Welcome back here to the Card Subject to Change podcast. We are in the go-home segment here of the show. Your reigning Trios podcast champions, the Honorable One, Nick Bull, the Wizard CZ, Stripes, Chris Angle. We're here. We're going to talk the men's elimination chamber match.
Nick, before we get there, I want to bring up a couple of other things that happened during the show.
Absolutely.
First of all, I am a big fan of The Miz. I always have been. I thought they did an amazing promo package on him right between the Edge, the mixed tag and the men's elimination chamber match. More importantly, though, did you guys catch the promo with Mr. Seth Rollins and Miss Becky Lynch?
With the Joker?
Yes.
I saw the list of the parodies they're doing since WrestleMania is going to Hollywood.
Oh, and I haven't seen that list.
I don't know if you want to know the list or not, but the ones they picked.
No, I don't. I do not.
I don't. Okay. Yeah.
Dude, they're going to be great ones. That one last night was really good.
So the reason I bring that up, we'll get to when we start talking about the match, but I wanted to make sure we brought that promo up before we got into the match itself.
My favorite line in that entire video was, "Wait, we have a man cave?"
Yes,
and I just absolutely lost my crap. I was like, "That is hilarious." And if you actually go back and listen to it, the thing that I find is pretty comical. There's a little Easter egg. If you listen at the very end, you can hear Becky in the background yelling, "Alfred!"
I'll have to go back and watch that again.
Go back and listen just very carefully. She's in the background yelling, "Alfred." And it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, the list of movies is really good. And I think the people they have doing them, it's can't miss. So
We did see a little bit of a preview towards the end. I know Rhea Ripley was doing like a Stranger Things thing, like kind of up.
Yeah.
What else was there? Oh, The Miz and Maurice were doing Top Gun.
Yes, I saw that.
I didn't see the whole thing. It just was the kind of like little
kind of glanced over them. The one that I think is going to be great is The Bloodline. And they're doing Goodfellas.
Oh, I did see that. Yes, I did see that.
And seeing Roman going, funny how. You know, it's going to be good. I can't. That's the one I got circled. But the Batman and Joker was a really good one.
That was good.
So
I asked you guys, the women's chamber match was ... What was the men's?
Phenomenal.
He wasn't in the match. Oh! You wanted us to describe the match. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, one word to describe the match. The men's chamber match was what?
So I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched that match yet. I'm going to go back and watch it. So I'm going to kind of defer to you.
We're ribbing here. We knew you. I knew you didn't watch it, and it's okay. You're repping for crying out loud. I put the men's chamber match was amazing. When you look at the participants, the reigning champ Austin Theory, Montez Ford, Bronson Reed, Adrian Priest, Johnny Gargano, and Seth Rollins, four of these six had never been in a chamber match before. And we get Gargano and Rollins starting off the match, and this is the first time they had ever faced each other in a WWE ring.
And can I point something out really quickly? If you look at all these participants, they are a product of what? NXT.
Yes.
Product of the system.
Proud Papa Triple H has got to be sitting there looking like, man, I did something good. Bronson looks amazing.
I know.
Because, you know, he just looks like a beast. He looks like someone that can legitimately tear shit up.
Yes, he does.
Montez Ford looks like a real life action figure. Like when I saw him in, I did see the beginning of the match, just the kind of entrances. I wanted to see what kind of outfit Seth Rollins had on. Nothing too sparkly, nothing too out of this world. But Montez Ford looks literally like an action figure, and he's championship material. Like he's
gonna have a title.
He'll be headlining Manias in the years to come. I feel. Yes. CZ, I'm gonna ask you this: what do you think? How would you describe that big moment of Montez's in the Elimination Chamber?
Oh my God.
You got away with words. Let's see what you have to say.
So that it was like nothing. Okay. So I can't say it's like nothing I've ever seen before, but it reminded me of a Rey Mysterio, a Jeff Hardy, who have both done something similar. He climbs to the top of the cage and just drops on everyone. It was epic. It was
Before he dropped, he was hanging upside down a la Spider-Man.
Yes.
And then swung himself, so he was pressing himself onto the every time I watch one of these matches with a stipulation, a Hell in a Cell, Elimination Chamber, Money in the Bank, whatever, you're always looking for something you haven't seen before, right? And right. we had not seen that before. So that brought me genuinely out of my seat. That was the big moment of the night for me up to that point. was seeing that, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he going to do? And like, when he gets up there and then he just lets it go, it's like, it was crazy.
Speaking of things we've never seen before, I don't remember if I texted both of you or just one of you, but when that match started, my first thought is Seth Rollins versus Johnny Gargano. Yes, please. Those two have never touched until last night in a WWE ring.
And if you go back and watch their exchange, I've watched it a couple times now. It was fast paced. There were no dull moments, and it kept everything going. And it just parlayed right into Austin Theory coming into the match. And then you got Theory trying to parlay a deal with Gargano since they were both members of the Way. And then you start seeing Gargano and Rollins having their way with Theory because, you know, just like everybody else, they're sick of them.
And but here
Gargano and Rollins set the table for a great match.
They really did. I'm going to go back a little bit here. We were talking about the Joker promo with Seth Rollins. There are a couple of lines that I have written down from commentary in this. The first one that I have written down, Michael Cole says as the bell is ringing or shortly after, Seth Rollins does not want to be a Joker in this match. And that just tripped my trigger. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was good.
Coming off
of that
promo.
It was.
So many great moments. Gargano and Rollins start the match, like we said. Current U.S. champion Austin Theory is first out of his pod. There's a moment where Theory cowers his way back into his Elimination Chamber pod, but Rollins and Gargano make their way back in, and they're just beaten down on Austin Theory, and Corey Graves says it's like a fist fight in a phone booth.
And that's exactly what it looked like. Graves and Cole, I don't think, get enough credit for the broadcast that they do. Their one-liners back and forth are next level. I mean, you really got to pay attention. To me, that's part of the show.
Yeah, and the kids nowadays are like, what's a phone booth?
Right. Corey was making a comment about Carmella being his wife, and Cole's like, my wife doesn't even talk to me anymore. You know, like stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, that's funny to me. And there's something there for everybody. And this match provided that. I put all six guys come out of this match looking great. I think talk about the big moment of the match. Montez Ford gets quote unquote injured after his elimination, and the chamber door has to come open. Obviously, he's okay, because if he had head, neck, and back issues, he would have been backboarded out of there instead of dropped by enhancement talent. Am I right, CZ? Am I right?
Well, I think we lost CZ. He's having some technical difficulties.
That's okay. Montez Ford is getting escorted out by enhancement talent and officials. Seth Rollins has Theory laying there ready for a curb stomp when out of nowhere, the buckshot lariat from Logan Paul, it decapitates Rollins.
I'm gonna say this again. Logan Paul has a beautiful looking buckshot lariat. I don't care who you are.
He is the buckshot lariat.
He is. It's way better than Hangman Page's.
Don't at me if you're listening to this out there. If you agree with me, that's great. But this guy's special. He is special. Say what you want. Oh, he's only got four matches. I don't give a crap. This isn't the territory days, okay?
Right.
Let's give this guy some credit. And I really think this is my number one match right now for Mania that I'm looking forward to. Here's why. Yes. Logan Paul, I think, is finally going to get to work with somebody that's just like him, body-wise, athleticism-wise, and Seth Rollins is going to get the best quote unquote wrestling match out of him. I think this is Logan Paul is going to look like $1 million at WrestleMania. Yep. And I think we'll be talking about that as the match of the weekend for WrestleMania.
I agree, because right now we've only seen him in kind of high flying and kind of fast paced matches. And I think Seth Rollins is going to slow down the pace, and he's going to actually show us what Logan Paul has learned from a lot of these wrestling sessions that he's had with the multiple trainers that he's had.
Well, and I'm telling you what, you know, Logan going over to Saudi and, you know, battling Roman in the way that he did. I mean, Roman made him look like $1 million. Don't get me wrong, but for just being his third professional match in front of that crowd with stakes at hand, I don't care what people say. I'm of the school. He's got a lot of followers. He's got a lot of fans that are probably not wrestling fans, and that's going to get more eyes on these guys, which brings in more money for the card, which means everybody gets paid more money.
Exactly.
I don't care. Him and Rollins are going to put on a show. And I know there's no title up for the line. There doesn't need to be. And
there doesn't.
That timing they had last night was impeccable. I know we're going to see more of that buckshot lariat from Logan Paul. It is smooth.
It is.
He should call it the smooth criminal, by the way. Thank you, Logan. You're welcome.
I like that name.
Yes.
But I really liked this match because all six guys looked phenomenal. You made a match possibly for the pay-per-view or for WrestleMania with Seth and Logan. You also solidified Theory. Now he's got a new story angle where he's got an open challenge, which Edge accepted, by the way, in the post-media scrum. So we have Edge Theory on Raw for the U.S. title Monday night. So I think something's going to happen there. I really do. Because I think we all agreed that Theory probably doesn't need the belt for his match at WrestleMania.
No.
But that,
and I'm gonna throw this out there. You said the smooth criminal. I think what about the prime lariat?
Huh? Oh,
he's got the deal with Prime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The,
prime lariat.
Let's see the buckshot lariat. What could we do? The pop up, prime line or something like that. It's
the pop up prime line.
I don't know. It's off the top of my head. The creative juices are just about done flowing here.
They're about done.
And I'm going to be like a taxi driver here. The meter is running. Okay. The meter is running. So, the
juice is running.
You know, if you're out there listening, thank you for doing so. Please engage with us on social media. Cards Subject to Change is available. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Engage with us. Give us your thoughts on the chamber match itself, the pay-per-view itself. What's next for Sammy? We'd like to hear what you guys are thinking. Kind of talking shop here. Anything else we need to talk about for Elimination Chamber?
I think that's going to do it. You got something, CZ?
The only thing that I had my Wi-Fi disconnect when I was trying to say it earlier, that there were two spots in that men's Elimination Chamber match where I was just my eyes bugged out, and I was worried that they might that someone might get hurt.
Yeah.
One of them was that Montez Ford stomp.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a kayfabe injury, so that's a good thing. But the other one was when Rollins comes off the top rope, clotheslines Gargano, and Gargano goes into the Hurricanrana. The way that Gargano almost landed, he landed safely, but
yeah, he went right through Damian Priest's arm.
Yeah,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I looked at that and I'm like, oh shit. But no, I think overall, before we wrap it up, let's grade the show, guys. What do you guys? We graded the Royal Rumble. I think we averaged at about a B+. What do we grade the Elimination Chamber?
I give it a solid A. That crowd really brought the energy and just added to what the show was. Everything built to that main event, and the crowd was there from start to finish. I give this a solid A. I don't agree or like maybe everything that happened. I would like to see maybe some Theory drop the belt, somebody else be made in this. But that remains to be seen. I give it a solid A. I have no complaints.
You say that, like to see somebody else be made in this, but I think everybody walked out of that chamber, that men's elimination chamber match,
oh, for sure,
as a made
for
man.
Sure. For sure they did, for sure.
Would I have liked to see the belt on someone else? Absolutely. Theory doesn't need the belt for his scheduled match, what's rumored to be scheduled at WrestleMania against John Cena. But I agree with you, Nick. I think it was a solid A, if not even an A+. I don't know if I'm ready to go A+, but it was a solid A for sure. Stripes, what do you think?
Ah, oh, God, this is hard. Do I go? I'm going to say B+. Just for the simple fact, I think it was a little light on the card. I don't think you could have fit any more matches on the card, but with them only having so much time, but I would definitely bring it up to A- for the simple fact of the extra credit with the Montreal crowd. I'm going to go A-.
Good call there. Good call. So on average, we give Elimination Chamber a solid A. Gentlemen, I think that puts a bow on our talk about Elimination Chamber, unless you guys have more to say.
I agree. I have everything I wanted to say about it. I thought, man, we definitely talked about refs on this. We talked about the crowd. I mean, we touched on some different things. I mean, that's why we have Stripes here. He's expensive, but that's why he's here.
Exactly. So like Nick was saying, you know, like, follow, subscribe. We're all over social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find our personal pages there as well. Next week, we've got something special. We're coming off of a big match for Sami Zayn. We are going to talk all things Bloodline and Sami coming into the Bloodline last April. We're just going to review the storyline, give our thoughts and thoughts and considerations on that. I think it's going to be a fun episode. I'm looking forward to it. After that, it is AEW's, is it Revolution, Nick?
Yes, sir.
Without looking at my notes, I couldn't remember the name of the pay-per-view, and I feel Revolution. Ashamed of myself.
Revolution. That is correct.
We've got Revolution coming up after that. A whole bunch of stuff planned for the next 2 months. Not going to throw out any names or spoilers here other than the fact that Merrick Brave will be on in April after Epic to talk all things about the SCW Pro's biggest show of the year. But that wraps things up. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you tuned in live, thank you for listening on all podcast platforms. We appreciate that. Please interact with the show. We want to hear your thoughts and opinions. And any questions you have, any comments, we love hearing from our fans. But in the meantime, we will see you next week for everything Bloodline. Have a good night, everybody.
See ya.